We live in such a technologically advanced, fast-paced, rapidly changing world that it's hard for us to keep up. And yet, despite all this progress, there is what's called the paradox of progress. A number of studies have shown that as a whole, people feel less happy in this generation than in previous generations. And the technology is wonderful, the advancements are wonderful, but sometimes we just need to look back at our ancient values, which unlock so much opportunity for a sense of fulfillment, which leads to so much happiness in the world. Many of these values require work, and a lot of work on our part, but the dividends are tremendous. Today I want to explore an often overlooked value that is so important for us who have parents and for us who have children, and that is the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. I want to examine why this ancient value is more crucial than ever today and has the power to transform our lives in ways that we might never have imagined. Kibud av va'em is one of the Aseres Hadibros. It's one of the Ten Commandments, so obviously it's pretty important. Why, though? What's the value of Kibud av va'em? I mean, every mitzvah is important, but why is Kibud av va'em, why does that make the list of the top 10? Or why does it make the list of the 10 Dibros? What does this mitzvah entail, and what is its value for us? So, the Torah tells us in the Aseres Hadibros that the mitzvah is Kabeit es avicha ves imecha, I guess literally to honor parents. And in Parshas, that's in Parshas Vayisro, and in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah says, Ishimu Vaviv Tirau, that there's a mitzvah to fear or revere one's parents. Now, the Gemara in Kedushin discusses the behaviors involved in the mitzvah of Mora in Yira and the mitzvah of Kibud. So the Gemara says that Mora is lo omeid, this is the Gemara in Kedushin, Laman Aleph Abud Beis. The Gemara says that Mora is what? Lo omei bimkoma. We don't stand in our parents' place. Lo yoshim koma. We don't sit in its place. Lo sosius dvar. We don't contradict his words. Lo machrio. And we don't essentially take a view that we are siding with our parents as if they need our approval. And kibud, what's kibud? Machil lo mashke. We feed. We give to drink. Malbish machase. We clothe them. We cover them if they're cold. We help them in and out of places. And the Gemara in Kiddushin not only talks about behaviors of Mora, which are acts of reverence, acts of respect, deference, and Kibud are providing material needs for parents, but not only are the Gemara speak about these behaviors, the Gemara also in Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph speaks about attitudes. The Gemara says, Yesh machile aviv pisyone v'torda min ha'olam, v'yesh matchinu b'reichayim aviv l'chayim l'mabah. There are those who feed a parent delicacies. It can feed a parent like fatty pigeons, and they will be removed from this world. Meaning, they can commit a sin by feeding their father the best delicacies, and they can make a father work in the windmill, and they get olam haba for that. Why? Because about your attitude. That if you even provide food for your parents, but don't demonstrate respect and love for the parents, so that's not good. And the converse too. Let's say your father needs to work in a windmill for whatever reason. The Gemara talks about that to avoid service of the king. He has this job, so he doesn't have to go work for the king. Now, let's say you have to convince your parent to work in a way that's going to be very difficult for him, but you convince him to do so with love and you appease the parent, then you get olam haba, you're saving your parent, because attitude is what's critical. So there are the behaviors of kibud and mora, and there are the attitudes of kibud and mora. Now, there are two ways that we could potentially understand the responsibilities as a child have to a parent when it comes to kibud and mora. Do we say that parents have rights? Or do we look at it as if children have responsibilities? The question, what's the difference between them? So if we look back in ancient history or ancient legal history, so there was a Roman doctrine of patria potestas. Now, there's this book called the Institution, the Institutes of Justinian. The Institutes of Justinian is part of the Corpus Juris Civilis. It's a fundamental collection of Roman legal texts commissioned by the Byzantine Emperor Justinian in the 6th century. and the responsibilities of a child towards a parent are governed by this doctrine of patria potestas. I think that means of paternal power. Or literally, I guess it means the Latin, it's Latin for the power of the father. In Roman family law, is the power that the male head of a family exercised over his children, and his more remote descendants in the male line, whatever their age, and the power that the parent had over his child was he had control over his child. He had the right even to inflict capital punishment, and he also had rights in private law. In other words, acquisitions of a child became the property of the father. Whatever the child owned, the father owned. The father might allow a child certain property to treat as his own, but in the eye of the law, it continued to belong to the father. The rights belonged to the father. In fact, there are laws about how the child no longer how the child would no longer become the quote unquote property or the rights of the father. And there are laws about, well, certainly if the parent dies and the child becomes independent. If the parent is deported to an island for some offense, some penal offense, that entails a loss of citizenship. So then the child would be free. But however, if the father then is liberated, then the father would regain his rights. And essentially, the father could free the child by emancipation, and then eventually the law evolved that the father's power of life and death shrunk to that of light punishment, and then there were laws about how sons could keep as their own what they earned as soldiers. And there were eventually the rights of the father diminished. But this doctrine of patria potestas really focused on the father as having rights and control over his children. And it was essentially grounded in a combination of social, legal, and philosophical principles that reflected the values of Roman society. Roman society was fundamentally patriarchal, meaning that the male head of the family held ultimate authority over all family members. The family was seen as a fundamental unit of society, and the head of the family was responsible for the welfare, discipline, and management of the household, which included children, slaves, and extended family members. This doctrine reflected social stability, discipline, control, and moral authority over the family. Now, One way that this legal doctrine is different than the Torah's perspective, Kibud Av V'Aim, is that there's no mention in this Roman doctrine about the role of the mother. There's also no mention of a child performing perhaps an act of chesed or kindness towards the parent. It's about the rights that the parents have, the control they have over the children. The idea that a child's relation with the parent is defined mostly by the father's authoritative power is very different than the Torah's perspective of Kibud and Mora. The Torah's perspective is probably more similar to the Confucian doctrine of filial piety. Confucius was a Chinese philosopher and teacher who lived in the 6th and 5th century BCE. It's around the beginning of the Second Beis HaMikdash, time of Second Beis HaMikdash, and his teaching profoundly shaped East Asian culture and thought. One of his key teachings is filial piety, which is the virtue of respect of one's parents and ancestors. There's a book entitled The Classic of Filial Piety, which is structured as a dialogue between Confucius, the master, and his disciple Zengzi. And Confucius provides answers regarding the principles and practices of filial piety. And this work was compiled at the end of the 3rd century BCE. And this work speaks of filial piety as the foundation of all proper conduct. And it talks about how it's important for the emperor or the ruler to practice this so that it influences society. And there it talks about the responsibility to take care of parents both physically and emotionally, and to exhibit reverence. And this is very similar to the doctrine that to the way the Torah, I think, views the mitzvah of kibud and mora in general. So with that in mind, what are the goals of these mitzvahs of kibud and mora? So on one level, you could say that it's practical, that when a parent gets old, so a child takes care of the parent, and when the child takes care of the parent, when the parent is old, and when the child gets old, then others will take care of him or her. And that's a very practical way of looking at the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, because who better than the family to take care of an elderly person? And Rabbi Soloveitchik sees no problem with this as a reason for the mitzvah of kibud of taking care of a parent. In his book, Family Redeemed, the book Family Redeemed, which has a number of essays by Rabbi Soloveitchik, he writes on page 138, the Torah concludes the command to respect one's parents with the promise that your days be long and that it may go well with you, meaning, l'man yarichun yumecha, l'man ayitavlach. So it should be good for you and you'll have long days. And Rav Soloveitchik writes, the children grow up, their parents have aged, the tender, weak child is a strong adult physically, mentally, and socially. The parents, powerful and efficient, a score or two scores of years ago, are not old, feeble, and helpless. They need the assistance of their child. Not long ago, their little baby, whom they kissed and hugged. The Judaic law states unequivocally, help thy father and mother for purely selfish reasons. The law is very practical and makes reference to our human experience. It is pragmatic and addresses itself to egotistic man. Observe the law, for by observing it, you are furthering your own interests. To honor father and mother and to serve them is not only a good act, but a prudent one as well. The child who finds pride and joy in his youth, strength, and ability now will have willy-nilly to encounter the experience of old age, of physical frailties and mental incapacity, will not be able to lead an independent existence without the assistance of his children. If he will treat his parents rightly, similar treatment will be accorded to him by his children. So that's a practical reason for the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. That is a valid goal of this mitzvah, but it's more than that. It's also an expression of gratitude. You know, the pasuk in Mishlei, Paragim, Chav Gil, Pasuk Chav Beis, the Torah says that we should shma l'avicha, you should listen to your father, zeh yiladecha, he gave birth to you. And yismach avicha v'ibecha, you should make your father and your mother happy, v'sogel yiladetecha, make those who gave birth to you rejoice. Look what your parents did for you. They gave birth to you, they took care of you. And the Sefer HaChinuch makes this point explicitly in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. He writes, Misharshe Mitzvah Zu, the root of this mitzvah, that he should recognize and act kindly to one who did for him a favor. He should not be an ingrate than someone who doesn't appreciate the kindness that others did to him. This is a disgusting midah to be an ingrate. And he should think about, this is why his parents are the basis for him being in this world. And therefore, it's truthfully fitting for him to do for them all the honor and whatever purpose he can, because they brought him to the world. They also did many things for him in his youth. So on a very basic level, it's an expression of gratitude. So we start off with practical reasons, then we move on to gratitude. But there is even greater reason as to why, not necessarily greater, there's another reason why we should perform the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. And actually, in Confucius, he actually, in some of the writings, there's one in this book, Classic of Filial Piety, he writes that it is the root of all virtues and the foundation of all proper conduct. Meaning, it's a basis for how to live our lives. It creates, perhaps, a more moral society. And the question is, does the Torah believe that the way we treat our parents and the way that the family structure is a microcosm of society. So if we revere our parents and we take care of our parents when they're in need, then we will treat broader society in this way. In other words, strong kibbutz and mora create a more moral society. And I think the Ramban hints at this idea, because in discussing the mitzvah of ben sorer umorer, or the halachos of ben sorer umorer, not the mitzvah, but the halachos, the Torah says that the ben sorer umorer does not listen. What's the ben sorer umorer? He doesn't listen. That he doesn't listen to his parents, and he steals from his parents, and he becomes a glutton. And his parents are the ones who take him to his parents are the ones who take him to court. Only his parents can come to take him to court and to bring justice to him. Now, there's the Gemara which says it's never happened. It's just to teach us values. Now, the Ramban writes that where do we get this idea of ben sorer umorer? He says maybe it's a mitzvah mechudash. Maybe it's a new kind of mitzvah. But then he says, this is the Ramban in Devarim Chaf Aleph Yud Ches. In other words, the Ramban believes that it's an outgrowth. The Ben Sorer Mora is an outgrowth of the two mitzvahs of Kibud and Mora. In other words, what he's really saying is that if you don't fulfill the mitzvahs of Kibud and Mora, then what will you do? You will be a Ben Sorer Mora. You will steal from them. You will disrespect them. And why do we put the ben sorer umorer to death? Because we know what's going to happen. He's going to end up doing even worse things. And it's going to be a negative impact on society. And so therefore we kill him now so that he will die before he acts even worse. Again, if this never happened, it's to teach us the values that what? If we don't have strong kibbutz umora, we end up with a wayward son who will end up which will lead to a breakdown in society. So in other words, the Ramban understands that the mitzvos of kibud and mora, and making sure that we observe them for our parents, and that our children observe them towards us, creates a more moral society. And that another reason, another goal, the mitzvah of kibud avayim, is this idea of is this, and by the way, also I just want to point out, so the Marsha also writes that the idea that the Torah says that since the wayward son, he was about to be put to death if he doesn't behave, so therefore the parents will make sure that they'll give the proper tochacha and they'll receive reward over this. In other words, it's a job of the parents to instill kibbutz and mora so that the child acts the appropriate way and he does not end up a wayward son. Another, a fourth value, we talked about practical reasons for kibbutz avayim. We talked about an expression of gratitude. We talked about creating a more moral society. There's another approach that is the transmission of traditions, that we believe that it's important for us to not only look forward, but also to look backwards and to look to our traditions as being something that is holy. There's a famous story they said about different gedolim. Among those who they said about is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was on a plane, and his son and his grandchildren took wonderful care of him on the flight, making sure he was comfortable. And he was sitting next to a secular, according to the story, sitting next to a secular Israeli politician. And this non-religious Israeli, who also had family on the trip, was puzzled. He said, "How come your children and grandchildren treat you as a king, and mine have disappeared for the past 9 hours?" He was sitting on a plane together. Now, Yaakov Kamenetsky explained that it would seem from our discussions, they were sitting next to each other. Said, "It seemed from our discussion the past few hours, you believe in the theory of evolution. Is that correct?" The man says, "I don't know what that has to do with anything, but yeah, I believe in the theory of evolution." And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, "You see, we believe that the greatest moment in national history occurred in the year 2448 after creation, when the Torah was given. Each generation that was closer to that event is greater than the next because of its proximity to the holiness and power of that experience. Therefore, my children and grandchildren look to me as a link to that astounding episode. But you, on the other hand, your family believes that you are descendants of apes. You think that mankind has been evolving for eons to ever greater heights and intellectual capabilities. Therefore, they see you as just one step closer to those monkeys, so why should they give you any respect? Obviously, this story is a little maybe tongue-in-cheek, a little bit, but the point being is that we take our Mesorah very seriously. We take our traditions very seriously. And what's an important way in order through which we have these traditions? So the Meshech Chochma has a beautiful idea in Vayikra Yud Tes, Pasuk Gimel. Again, this is in Parshas Kedoshim. The Meshech Chochma refers to Kibud Av Va'em as a Hechsher Mitzvah. How is it a Hechsher Mitzvah? So he says that Kol Mostos HaKabbalah Mihar Sinai, Hu HaKabbalah HaNemanah V'nitna L'moshe Misinai, that all of our tradition from Har Sinai, all the foundations of our tradition from Har Sinai, that's the tradition that was given to Moshe at Sinai. U'Mesaru HaDorach HaDor L'Zar Acharayim, that was given from Moshe generation to generation to their children. V'odiyu banim v'nei v'neihem yom asher amdu b'chorei v'chein ad olam. And they kept on passing on this tradition from generation to generation forever. V'chein dor yivzeh aviv yilagag l'mosri ha-kabbalah az pasak Torah Yisrael. And therefore what? If a generation despises a parent and mocks and ridicules the foundations of tradition, of this to those who give over the tradition, so then Torah is going to be gone. Torah only works. It doesn't work about if you only go forward. You have to go backwards. You have to believe in the tradition from Har Sinai, generation to generation. And Dilchein Bazeh HaGeder Yesh Bechvod Aviv Gam Devar Hanogi Mitzvah Hashem Echalal HaTorah. So therefore, part of the parameters that exists when it comes to honoring a parent, also those things that it's also connected to mitzvos of Hashem and in general the Torah. And therefore, he wants to say that the mitzvah of Kibud Av is a hechsher mitzvah to the entire Torah, to the entire Mesorah, even not just to parental mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em is a hechsher mitzvah. It helps us believe and appreciate and value the Mesorah going back generation, generation to generation. In other words, Kibud Av Va'Em is critical for us to value the transmission of traditions that we got, parent to child, parent to child, parent to child, parent to child, dating back to Har Sinai. And perhaps the final reason why Kibud Av Va'Em is such, Rav Elazar Melamed writes in Pinei Halacha, he says this explicitly, Nireh sheyeshna megama amuka b'mitzvos elu, says in the mitzvos of Kibud and Morah, there's a very important purpose, L'chavein ha'salam litkasher ha'malach ha'dorot, for a person to connect to the way of the generations. Not only to focus on himself. He should be a person who cares about the klal, the community, and not just him, the individual. And community is not just the community alive today, but to the historical community. The mitzvahs of Kibud Av Va'Em tie us to all generations that came before us. And finally, the final approach that, or the value of Mitzvah Kibud Av Va'Em, I'd like to suggest, is that it develops a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are a number of passages in the Gemara which connect to this idea. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Amud Bey, says that the Torah uses the same verbs when it comes to honoring parents and honoring God. Kabed es avicha v'asimecha, kabed es Hashem mehoncha. So the Gemara, Hishva Kasuf, the Gemara says, Yishva Kasuv Kibud Av Va'Em L'Chvod HaMakom. Torah equates Kibud Av Va'Em to Kibud of God. And the Torah says, Ishimov Aviv Tiro, and Es Hashem HaKacha Tiro, Moso Tavo. The Torah says, Tira'u, revere parents, and also revere Hashem. Yishva Kasuv Moras Av Va'Em L'Moras HaMakom. Torah equates revering parents to revering God. And the Gemara in Kiddushin also points out there are three partners in the creation of man. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv Imo, God, Father, and Mother. Bizman she'ara mechabes Aviv Imo, when a person honors his parents, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Malani aleim kilu darti menem v'chibduni. Hashem said, it's as if I'm living amongst them and they are honoring me as well. In other words, by respecting our parents, we are respecting and further developing a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes this explicitly in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. In addition to the mitzvah to express that the fact that it's an expression of gratitude, he writes, "Uchsheyikba zos amida benafsho." When a person establishes mida in himself, Yali menel akir tovas akel baruch hu. He'll come to him to recognize the greatness of God. Shu sibat tov v'sibat kol v'tov adam harishon. That he is the purpose is that he is, and he's the reason of all of his parents back to Adam Rishon. V'shel tziel avir ha'olam v'sipik tzar kol kol yomav. That he brought him to this earth. And he provides his needs all his days. Vemido al matkunoto v'shlemut evarav. That God helped form him, his limbs, his character, his quality. V'natibo nefesh yadat misakelet. And he gave him a soul who understands. Shilulei nefesh shechonenu akel yiyah kesus keperet ein havid. That if there was no nefesh, no soul, then we'd be like an animal. V'yaroch b'machshato kam kam roi lo lizar b'voto baruch hu. And then he will evaluate, he'll understand how important it is to believe in Hashem. If we recognize that our parents created us, and we recognize who created our parents, and who created them, and them, and them, and them, and them, going back to God, we realize that we're not just giving respect to our parents, but we're giving respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Melamed writes this, that why does the mitzvah of Kibud Av Horim is connected, it's so important, that's connected to Kavod Shemayim, and he says, Adam Shenu Machabeda Sorav Eino Yochel Lagi Elamuna B'Hashem. A person who doesn't truly honor his parents can't reach true faith in God. Because again, it's not about me, it's about something broader than me. It's about, I come from my parents, and I recognize that. And you think about your roots, where you come from, and ultimately you develop your relationship to Hashem. You know, we have a lot to do to improve ourselves and our society around us in this fast-changing world. But I think that if we can work on our own Kibud Av Aim, and instill how critical this value is to our children. The idea of filial piety, not that parents have some automatic right, but this idea of caring for the material well-being of our parents, important to revere our parents, then it can radically impact ourselves, our communities, and our commitment and our connection with Hashem. It fosters a life of gratitude. It strengthens the fabric of our society and deepens our sensitivity to traditional values. This sacred practice not only solidifies our relationship with those who gave us life, but also strengthens our bond with God. In a world of so much change and fleeting trends, let us all anchor ourselves in the timeless values that honoring our parents instills.